This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. It's my pleasure to have back on the program Donald Johnson. He is a program representative three, which really means that he's the supervisor of the San Jose field office for the Bureau of Auto Repair, Department of Consumer Affairs. Don has been on the program before and has come back to talk with us about auto repair problems and how the Bureau of Auto Repair may help you. Funding for Your Legal Rights is made possible by the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco, by the San Mateo County Bar Association. Additional funding is provided by the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar and by the Family Law Section of the State Bar. Don, welcome back.
Thank you for inviting me, Chuck.
Very, very nice to have you here. There's so many things to talk about. Maybe we might, if you don't mind, start with how should one deal with one's car? Should we be careful enough that we try to have some kind of diary that at this certain point I'm going to take my car to a trusted mechanic, or should we just let it go and just wait until the baby breaks down?
Well, I'm of the opinion that you should pay attention to your car.
Talking to your car?
Not so much.
Will your car talk back?
Well, you know, your car will talk back by making certain noises.
Yeah, I'll say.
But keep a log. Use your vehicle maintenance or your owner's manual as a reference, and keep a log of when you have certain repairs and service done. If you had two tires put on the front, write down what the date and the mileage was. If you had your oil changed, sometimes a lot of these oil change facilities will put a sticker on your car. Sometimes they won't.
Mm-hmm.
And just keep track of the service intervals, how much money and what type of parts and repairs you're putting into your car. And that way it gives you an idea of what has been changed, what hasn't. If you were to go to a repair shop and they were to recommend, let's say, brakes, ma'am, you need brakes on your car, and you look in your log and you just had brakes done.
Mm-hmm.
You can, and that's, of course, an unscrupulous way of trying to sell service by virtue of your ignorance. That way you can avoid any type of unnecessary repair, or you can ask them the question, well, I just had brakes put on 12,000 miles ago. Are you mm-hmm. sure I need brakes?
Yeah. How important is it that someone develop a relationship with an auto repair mechanic?
I think it is very important. I think you should find and shop for an auto mechanic before you absolutely have to have one. Go to a repair shop. Ask people that you work with. A lot of people do internet research. They use some of the opinion sites that are on the internet. Talk to coworkers where they go and go to the repair shop, ask them for their credentials, ask them if their mechanics are trained, find out if they're licensed.
With the Bureau of Auto Repair.
With the Bureau of Automotive Repair.
Yes.
And try a simple service such as a tire rotation or a oil change or something like that, and see how the experience is for you. See if they provide you a written estimate. See if they keep you informed. If they do find some problems, see if they contact you and get your authorization.
Which can be by telephone,
of
course.
Can be by telephone to perform the additional repairs, as opposed to just ramrodding the repairs and mm-hmm. you coming back and they said, well, we found this extra work that had to be done. You need to pay us $500.
Of course, that's a violation.
It's totally illegal.
Of the Business and Professions Code.
That's correct. The California Auto Repair Law is very specific. Auto repair in California is highly regulated. And the registered repair shops know what the law is. When a repair shop is opened now in California, for instance, if you were to apply for a automotive repair dealer registration, which you can do so. After the registration has been reviewed and you're granted your license, a bureau representative comes to your shop and will explain and give you as much information as you need on what requirements are, what the written estimate entails, what you can do, what you can't do, mm-hmm. what you should do.
Mm-hmm.
And these days, a repair shop in California that is licensed that says, I didn't know that I was supposed to follow these types of laws is not, in my opinion, being very truthful.
Oh, no. That's dishonest.
That's right.
Just out and out dishonest.
Auto repair has been regulated in California since 1972. So that Automotive Repair Act, and anybody, again, who's been doing work in California knows that the basic estimate law, they have this intuitive feeling that they're supposed to give an estimate.
You know, Don, when I was handling some of the cases when you were up in this area, in the San Mateo County area, San Francisco area, and I haven't handled any of these cases for quite some time with the Bureau of Auto Repair, but I remember what I felt was so really excellent on the part of your bureau was that I might get a complaint from a consumer, like someone would call me and say, hey, I've just gone to the repair shop. They told me they were going to do it for this amount of money, but now I come back and they have my car, they're ransom, you know, for ransom, and they won't let it go unless I pay this additional $200, $300, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I remember I used to call your office when it was close to Candlestick Park and say, hey, this is what's going on. And at that point, and of course, this is a few years ago, the Bureau would be able to send one of its inspectors over there right to the shop.
Oh, yes.
And it was wonderful. Can you guys still do that?
If we have the people available and if the circumstances enable us to, absolutely.
Yeah.
What the consumer would have to do is the consumer can call us. They can file a complaint over the phone. Because they have to file a complaint. We just don't go
out. Oh, sure. Yeah. Of course.
We just don't go out on a phone call, but they have to file a complaint, and they can do it by fax, or we'll fill it out for them and get it to them, and et cetera. And
this is statewide. You're talking about this practice is statewide, or is it just your field office that has this approach?
Phone complaints can be called in statewide.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Now, if in our field office, if we have the capability and the staff available, and if circumstance dictate, we can get out there in a day.
Well, that's what I found. It was wonderful.
Yes.
Absolutely wonderful.
And of course, some other things are more complicated and take a lot of time.
Sure.
But in order to just make contact to see what the initial situation is, especially in one of these perhaps hostage, if you will, type situations, we'll get out there as soon as possible.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's great to hear. What about the one of the things you mentioned to me before we went on the air, and this statistic is alarming to me, that approximately 20% of consumers in California go to repair facilities that are not registered with the Bureau of Auto Repair. That's pretty significant.
That's that role. In our field office in the greater Santa Clara Valley, I've ran the statistics, and 20% of the consumers—
That's your field office.
That's my field office.
All right.
20% of the consumers had filed a complaint against an unlicensed repair shop.
Incredible.
And the unlicensed repair shop, they could be referred to them by word of mouth. They can look for them on Craigslist and go in that route. Mobile auto mechanics that advertise, buy a business card at the supermarket or something like that. So some of the more egregious ones are the mechanics that approach you in the parking lot.
And yes, I've had that.
Yes.
Well, I'll fix the dent on your car. That's the kind of approach I've had.
That's right. And
But I like my dent.
Well, I actually had a consumer who was talked into giving an individual in a supermarket parking lot cash to go get the parts.
Oh.
And, of course, they never returned.
Got lost, of course.
Well,
obviously, just got lost.
You can't never do that. But the problem with unregistered repair shops is that we don't have information on the individual, and so it's hard to identify them. And the reality of it is if they refuse to identify, now we have to escalate to someone, and if we can get a peace officer involved or something like that, but. The law enforcement is highly taxed. It's hard for them to get out to assist us.
Of course.
And so when you deal with a non-registered repair shop, it's usually cash. There's usually no paperwork. And it's your word against theirs.
All in violation of the law.
It's in violation of the law. And in reality, Chuck, sometimes they'll say, I don't know who this person is, and I never worked on their car. That's how brazen it can get.
Oh, wow.
So some repair shops legitimately, if they came from another area, didn't know that they had to be registered. So we will issue them an abatement notice. Mm-hmm. They have to stop work. Mm-hmm. They can't continue to work. If you are unregistered, you can't legally collect for repairs in California.
Yes.
So we suggest a refund.
Yes.
And the consumer has to make other arrangements and go to a legitimate repair shop.
A legitimate repair shop, as I recall, will have a white sign showing member of the Bureau of Auto Repair. Will it not? Yes, they will.
What it is there's a registration that looks about the size of a business check that's posted. That's their license. And a white consumer affairs sign, consumer rights sign, that states that this repair facility is registered by the Department of Consumer Affairs. Consumers have these rights, and it's a right to a written estimate, parts returned upon request, a detailed invoice, and if there's any problems with the repair, that they direct their complaint to the manager.
Yes, yes. And if there is, as an auto mechanic, let's say a registered auto mechanic is working on a vehicle, and he or she or they find that there's some additional problem, they are required under California law, the Business and Professions Code, to call the consumer and say, we have found this. It's going to cost such and such to do this. Do you authorize us to do this or not? And if the consumer doesn't authorize them to do it, they cannot do that.
That is correct.
Yeah, and that's the law.
That's the law. Additional repairs have to be authorized. Authorization can occur over the phone, but phone authorization, for it to be legal, has certain criteria mm-hmm. that the repair shop has to meet. Mm-hmm. Fax authorization, in other words, if the repair facility were to draft a document, an additional repair invoice, and fax it to the consumer gets a copy, agrees, fax the signature back, that's legal.
I see.
Internet conversation or email transmission, email authorization is legal also.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Is it still legal if the repair shop calls you on the phone and says, here's what we found. If you want us to repair it, it's going to cost this and so. I know under the old law, the consumer could say, yes, go ahead and do it. And the auto repair mechanic on the auto repair mechanic's invoice back at the shop would have to initial that the consumer can authorize that. Is that still permitted?
Yes, it is permitted. Uh-huh. And what the shop has to do is document the date, the time, the telephone number, who they talked to, the specification or what the repair is going to be, mm-hmm. and the cost.
One of the things, Don, and you and I have discussed this briefly actually last week because I wanted your input on this. I received in my office, the San Mateo County DA's office, because as you know, I'm in the Consumer Protection Unit as a deputy DA. I received a complaint from a woman who had been solicited by an outfit, and I'm not going to say the name of the outfit because this has not ended, but it's an outfit out of Florida. And she had been solicited by phone telling her that if she paid, and I think it was something like $2,300, she could get an extended service agreement on her car, which I believe still had some coverage left of the manufacturer's warranty. And she kind of thought that she'd go ahead with it. And unfortunately for her, she's sorry she ever did it. And she's been dealing with her credit card company. She filed a written dispute to try to get them not to do it. And she communicated with the company. The issue that I would like you to talk about a bit is, how should someone deal with something like this? A telephone solicitation, or you go on the internet and you see you can buy this extended service agreement for another 50,000 miles or whatever it may be. One of the things, or a couple of the things that I found in this woman filing the complaint with my office, is that under the California Civil Code, this telephone solicitor violated the law by not letting this woman know and also supplying her with a written contract that informed her she had 3 business days within which to cancel. That's the Telephone Solicitation Act in California. Plus, under the Civil Code, there's a provision dealing with extended service agreements or extended warranties that the consumer is to be informed, certainly in writing by the contract, either before or at the time of the entering into the the contract that, by the way, and there's a modification of some degree, you have 60 days within which to cancel this if you have not yet used your service agreement. What thoughts do you have on this with both telephone solicitation and finding something on the Internet?
Well, one of the telephone solicitation probably occurred because her factory warranty was coming up near the end of its useful life, and she's on some type of, I guess it's a public list. I don't know.
It may be.
Yeah.
It may be.
And my opinion is never enter into any type of additional aftermarket vehicle repair service contract over the phone, because in California, certain things, how you redeem the service, what criteria you have to meet, what they will do, what they won't do, has to be very explicitly explained to the consumer. And you don't have those documents in front of you mm-hmm. on a phone authorization and giving out a credit card. I've seen some of these aftermarket contracts that are administered out of state will specify the use of replacement parts as used parts.
So they don't even, they're not even reconditioned.
They're not even new or reconditioned, no. Yeah. We personally had a complaint. It was up here in the San Francisco area where the aftermarket service administrator was more than willing to repair the car, but was shipping the consumer's repair shop here in San Francisco used engines from Oklahoma to install in the car. And that's all that their contract allowed for. Because they, for whatever reason, there was exclusions and rules and that sort of thing.
Did the, and just to, if you don't mind me interrupting for a moment, did the contract specifically state that we will, if we are going to do any kind of repair work under this extended service agreement, we will use used parts? Did it say that?
I do not believe that. I believe.
Really?
Yeah, I believe it said that they would supply the parts.
They would supply the parts. So you got to be real careful.
You have to be careful.
Wow.
And there are contracts which are administered out of California. And generally, when the Bureau gets involved in a repair or a contract dispute, it has to do with a disagreement between the repair shop and the administrator of the contract on how the vehicle is going to be repaired. Mm-hmm. In other words, mm-hmm. what type of additional labor or services or parts are going to be required to make an effective repair. When the Bureau gets involved, and if the administrator's in California, we generally have pretty good luck in getting the consumer through the dispute effectively.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If the administrator is in another state, Texas and Florida come to mind, we have very poor success.
Do you?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. The other thing to do is there are aftermarket vehicle service contracts, and there are also factory extended warranties that an individual can purchase through a dealership.
Yes.
And those,
at least you know who to sue if that messes up.
Well, not only that, but I've used two of those in my lifetime. I recently bought one for my son's pickup, and those are pretty reliable.
Mm-hmm.
Those are pretty reliable. Mm-hmm. And again, you're right. If there's a problem with the contract, you go to the selling dealer.
Yeah,
so,
I think that's true.
And you have some, at least you can look at them in the eye.
I want to give the Bureau website because I think it's very important that the listeners have this available to them. For the Bureau of Auto Repair, it's www.autorepair.ca.gov. So it's very straightforward. This is all one word, essentially, lowercase. www.autorepair.ca.gov. What will they find on the website?
They'll find more information than they know what to do with. There is a lot of links.
Good. I'm glad
there
you heard that.
There's a lot of information for consumers. There's a lot of information for repair facility owners and mechanics as well.
Good.
So as a consumer, you can look at the requirements and the laws that the repair facility owners and technicians are being exposed to mm-hmm. and what they have to comply with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The other thing you can do on the website is you can search by address or by name if a repair facility is actually licensed to do repair in California.
And I think that's very valuable.
Yes.
Because it will also show, if it had been licensed and the license has been suspended, it will show that, will it not?
Yes, it will. Yeah. And if there was any type of administrative action,
yes,
it'll actually link you to the court documents, and you can read specifically
that's
what
terrific.
Action was there.
That's terrific.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm very impressed with that. I remember when I've gotten complaints in the past and I've looked on the website, I've seen what the condition of the auto repair mechanic may be.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's terrific. Let me ask you this. Transmissions.
Yes.
My daughter's in her beloved Jeep transmission went out. It essentially died. She had over 300,000 miles on it. What rule of thumb do you recommend for people when it comes to them if they have an automatic transmission, and that's what we're talking about for the most part, if they start feeling that it's slipping or it's making more noise than ever, what thoughts do you have for people in terms of how they should approach whether or not and to whom to talk about trying to determine whether or not they want to have it rebuilt?
Well, first off, hopefully the consumer has a mechanic that they can rely on as opposed to trying to find one off of I-80 or something
like
that.
Oh, no. You don't want that.
Yeah.
No.
Have your car periodically checked. If a mechanic is periodically checking, they check the transmission. If there is a transmission failure or a possible failure, California has specific regulations regarding transmission repair. Certain things have to be done to the transmission in order to, number one, be inspected. There's certain criteria to inspect. And number two, if they're going to rebuild or reconstruct it or overhaul it, certain things have to be done and certain parts have to be put in the transmission for it to be called that. It's a trade standard. It's in the regulations. So the first thing that has to be done is a repair shop has to inspect it on the outside. All modern day transmissions today on passenger cars are controlled by computers.
Mm-hmm.
You could have a computer issue or a computer actuator issue causing your transmission. It may not be a mechanical or internal failure at all.
Mm-hmm.
So the law requires that the repair shop do an external inspection, which includes checking for computer codes or trouble codes,
mm-hmm.
to indicate whether or not it's an external problem. And then the repair shop has to gain your permission to remove the transmission to inspect it. And at that point, a consumer may decide, and in talking to the transmission shop, would it be more economical to replace it with a rebuilt transmission or a new transmission?
Mm-hmm.
Or would it be feasible to take it apart and rebuild it?
Mm-hmm.
That's where the integrity of the transmission shop comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And a good transmission shop or a good mechanic anywhere, regarding whether it's a engine or a transmission or other major component, will give you their honest opinion and their expertise on whether or not it would be more economical to replace, to rebuild, or maybe not even to replace and rebuild.
Well, if you were to replace with a new transmission, assuming you could get one, assuming they still exist, depending on how old your car might be,
mm-hmm.
that would be probably a lot more expensive, would it not, than if the transmission were to be rebuilt?
That's not necessarily
really?
The case.
Oh,
not necessarily the case.
Really?
There are transmission suppliers, even the dealerships, you can get a remanufactured, let's say, General Motors product or a remanufactured mm-hmm. Ford product. You may be able to get one that is comparably priced
mm-hmm.
to the in-house rebuild that's going to occur at that repair shop.
Really?
So that's one of the avenues that a consumer should explore.
That's very interesting.
Would it be more economical with a better warranty or mm-hmm. a nationwide coverage or whatever the case may be, to have a replacement installed? It may not necessarily be a new transmission.
Yes.
It may be a what you would term as a factory rebuild or something like
that.
So
you would go to the, for example, a Ford dealership to inquire about that,
or,
I suppose.
Or a transmission manufacturing company.
Ah.
Yeah, that's also an alternative. A lot of independent mm-hmm. repair shops who don't specialize in transmissions,
yes,
will obtain a rebuilt transmission from a supplier with a good warranty.
How does a consumer find out about the transmission supplier? How do you do that?
Well, you'd have to ask the repair shop.
Okay.
And get some opinions from different people.
Yeah.
One of the things that occurs, unfortunately, is if you're on a trip or if you're hurried or if you're pressed for time, you'll make a decision,
mm-hmm.
and it may not be the best decision.
Sure.
But if it's the best decision for you to get back on the road and that's the way it is, then that was good. Or if you're looking for all the options, an individual will explore, again, getting second opinions, doing a little bit of internet research, asking different mechanics on their options.
Don, we have for the statewide version of the program, which is a half an hour, and it is distributed statewide. We have a couple of minutes left. You and I discussed before we went on the air air conditioner coupon specials. Would you take a minute or two to talk about that, and what are the concerns that you would like people to know about, your concerns about that?
The coupon specials usually are very low price, and what will happen is the repair facility will not perform all the tasks that are required by law in California that constitute what an air conditioning service is. The repair shop has to check fittings. They have to check pressures. They have to check the belt, the compressor, various components in order to legally meet the criteria for a air conditioning service.
Mm-hmm.
And what will happen is a repair shop will just simply see that it's low on Freon, install Freon, mm-hmm. send them on their way at whatever the price may be.
Yes.
And usually the coupon is to check it. Not to repair. Yeah. So they'll check it. They'll say it needs Freon or it needs that without fully inspecting the entire mm-hmm. system. The consumer spends a lot of money, and a month later, it's not operating again.
Really?
Yes.
Really.
So there's certain criteria that have to be met for a coupon air conditioning service or an air conditioning service to be legal in California.
You want to be very careful.
Yes.
Obviously.
Yes.
Very careful.
Yes.
Trust no one.
Well,
okay. All right. Just be careful. Let me give you the Bureau of Auto Repair website again, www.autorepair.ca.gov. All right. It's 7:28 at 91.7, your local public radio station, KLW in San Francisco. This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney, and we're doing a program on auto repair problems and ripoffs, et cetera, et cetera. My guest is a very experienced person with the Bureau of Auto Repair, the California Department of Consumer Affairs, Don Johnson. He's Program Representative 3. Can you get any higher than a Roman numeral 3?
You can, but it changes. The job title changes.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you're the supervisor of the San Jose field office.
Field office.
You're the big guy down there.
That's right. So Representative 3 is high as it gets.
All right. Don and I have worked together in years past, and he's been worked together in my capacity as a deputy DA for San Mateo County. I have had cases like that. And Don was in charge of the office that covered San Mateo County and San Francisco, and then he moved down to Santa Clara County. We are going to take some calls now, and let me give you the phone number in case you have a problem. You've been ripped off by an auto repair mechanic, or maybe you're an auto repair mechanic and the consumer is hassling you and you feel you'd like to find out what you can do. Because, frankly, I don't want to have you feel, if you are an auto repair mechanic, that this is just let's just bang away at the auto mechanics. So the number is 1-415-841-4134, 1-415-841-4134. If you have a question, a concern, a problem with your car, and you're not getting it taken care of properly by an auto repair mechanic, maybe you have been hit by bait and switch. They've given you one number, and you end up, you come back to get your car, and it's several hundred dollars more. That's something that hopefully you will call in and we'll talk about. If you have a legal problem, you may need to talk to a lawyer. The Bar Association of San Francisco's Lawyer Referral Service can arrange an appointment for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation. This is a public service of the Bar Association of San Francisco. For a referral to a lawyer, call 415-989-1616. That's 415-989-1616. This information is brought to you by the Bar Association of San Francisco and KALW listeners like you. If you're in San Mateo County, the San Mateo County Bar Association also has a lawyer referral service. You can call your own, of course, during normal business hours, 650-369-4149, 650-369-4149. If you're in any other county in California, every county has a bar association and lawyer referral service. Call your own during normal business hours. You should be able to get a human being on the line. Tell them what the problem is. They'll do their very best to try to find someone experienced in the area and set you up for a half an hour consultation with the attorney. Depending on the county, for a half an hour consultation, it could be a low of $25, maybe a high of $35. And that money does not go to the attorney. It goes to the lawyer referral service as a public service. So I hope you would keep that in mind. I hope you don't need it, but that's what's available. By the way, and I don't like you not to be with us next Wednesday evening, but I want to let you know what the San Mateo County Law Library is doing next Wednesday evening in Redwood City at its location across the street from the Hall of Justice. That's 710 Hamilton Street in Redwood City. They are having Get Free Legal Advice on Your Trust and Estate or Civil Law Matter. That's next Wednesday, August 28th, from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. If you would like a 20-minute appointment at no charge with an attorney to discuss your trust and estate or civil matter, you can call this number at the Law Library, 650-363-4913. 650-363-4913. And also I want you to know, and I've mentioned this to you before, that there is a landlord-tenant clinic that the San Mateo Superior Court has on the second floor of the Hall of Justice at 400 County Center in Redwood City. Every Monday, except court holidays, from 8:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m., it has a landlord-tenant clinic, and you can go there to the office that's the Family Law Facilitator's office on the second floor and kind of just get in line, and you'll have a chance to talk with someone about landlord-tenant in their landlord-tenant clinic. So there you are. I hope you take advantage of that if you need it. And again, the number 1-415-841-4134. And we're going to start with Susan. Susan, welcome to the program. Hi, Susan.
Okay.
Hi.
I tuned in late.
Well, don't ever do that again, Susan.
No, I'll say because it was a scam. I walk around the sackcloth. I was actually helping. It was a parking lot scam, the large Safeway in Menlo Park. And luckily, I do have photos and I have a check. And the job was a joke. It was for fixing the dent. I won't bore you with details. I just wasn't able to follow up.
What kind of, but when you say it was a scam, what was the scam?
The scam was actually they had a they were professionals. They work for an auto rental. I just never felt like going around to the. They work at airplane places near the airport that fix up dents, do a quick job on all the, I guess on the cars that they use to ferry people back and forth. To their rental car. That's it. Yes. So you got there, and they were professional. And I know I meant to take down the address, of course. And
why do you feel it was a scam? What were they proposing to do?
Oh, to fix dent. I had a bad dent, and I very
successfully
presented several propositions.
This is a bad dent. And
yeah,
so
there was
did
a dent
they
in the car? Dent in the. They were going to replace the fender, and they did have professional. And then they took the decal off their truck, so they were pros. I mean, they were good at it, but they didn't finish the job, and it was way overpriced. And I did write, pay part cash and part check, but I do have pictures I took of the.
How long ago was this, Susan?
It was a year ago in March. Is it too late?
How much did you pay them?
I paid them. I gave a $400 check and $200 in cash, and it probably should have been $150 max.
Did you? I take it you live in Menlo Park.
Well, I'm East Palo Alto.
You live where?
In San Mateo County.
Okay, all right. Well, you didn't file a complaint with my office of San Mateo.
No, I'm not on the internet, and I just.
It's not too late, Susan. It's not too late.
Thank you.
You can call. I'll tell you what. Let me give you my office number.
Yes.
And you call my office. You can call tonight if you wish. I'm not going to be there, of course, but you can call and leave a message, and I'll call you tomorrow, and we'll talk about your putting together a complaint, and I'll get a little bit more information. But my direct phone number at my office at the San Mateo County DA's office is 650-363-4097.
Okay, thanks.
So you call.
Yeah, you call. And a cancel check.
Yeah, you call. Leave a message with your name and your phone number, and I'll call you tomorrow.
Thank you so much.
Okay, bye-bye, Susan.
Bye.
All right, Shauna, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I never call these programs, but I happened to call the DCA for a complaint form today. And I have a specific question, then a kind of a general observation about regulatory agencies in California. And the specific question is, you know, I called to get a complaint form because I was quoted one price, and then when I showed up, it was a different price.
This is on your car?
Yeah, just for a smog certification.
Okay. All right.
And it was the neighborhood place, and I didn't really check into it beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
And so I asked the person if it was the name he had given me, if it was the person I had spoken to. And first it was, and then it wasn't. And I said, well, are you the owner? And then he was the owner, and then he wasn't. And it was just a very...
What city, Shauna?
San Francisco.
Okay. And when you say it was one price and then it was another price, give us specifics, will you?
Well, it was $49.95 for my specific make, model, and year of car.
Yeah.
When I called on the phone.
Right.
And I got an appointment for a specific time, and I went down there. And then it turned out, I gave him my form, and he gave me back the paperwork to sign. And I said, well, can you confirm the price? Because there were three different prices written down, and turns out you add them all up, and it was something like $69 or $75 or something like that. So it wasn't...
More than what was told you on the phone.
Right.
Yeah.
So when I raised that, first he was the person, he had said he was the person I had spoken to, but then he said he wasn't. Then he said he was the owner. Then he said he wasn't.
Wow.
So the whole thing was just laughable. But I ended up not doing business with them, and I'm so tired.
Glad to hear that.
I'm so tired of shady business people. I had this interesting conversation with the DCA representative on the phone today, and that's my second point, is kind of a general observation about these regulatory agencies that are there to help the consumer spot fraudulent business practices. Because I came home and I looked up this certification station on the DCA website. They had two violations of just failing to perform the inspection they had told the customer they had performed,
mm-hmm.
apparently, according
mm-hmm.
to what I could read.
Yes.
In 2009 and 2011. And so I asked the person on the phone, well, these are verified violations. What does it take to list the complaints? Because my experience with the Contractors Licensing Board is they don't even list complaints on their website. So
mm-hmm.
you can't check
mm-hmm.
someone out
mm-hmm.
and really see what their record is.
Mm-hmm.
You have to wait until there's some kind of a process that's gone through, which I understand because they don't want to just post allegations. But on the other hand, what's the ratio of complaints to actual violations? Because I had a contractor I dealt with that, you know, quite frankly, shouldn't be in business, but he had a clean record when I checked him out. So again,
let me, Shauna, get Don to respond to the concerns that you are letting us know about. One of the things that I have found in what I've been doing for many, many years in the Consumer Protection Unit at the San Mateo County DA's office is I work very closely with the Better Business Bureau, the Golden Gate Area Better Business Bureau, which actually its office is in Oakland, but it covers the whole Bay Area. And they are very good. If consumers are concerned enough, whatever the problem may be, to file a complaint with the Better Business Bureau, the Better Business Bureau keeps a very good record of this. And I suggest to anybody who's dealing with any business whatsoever, whether it's auto repair mechanic, it's a smog check certification business, or it's the dry cleaners or whatever, or a carpet cleaning company, I suggest one of the places you go is to check before you do business with it, the Better Business Bureau. But let me get Don to respond to you, Shauna. So turn your radio back up, if you would.
Okay.
Thanks very much for calling. Our number, 1-415-841-4134. What comments do you have for her?
Well, she was wise not to proceed.
Boy, I'll say.
Because she got a feeling that this individual was being dishonest, when it appears as though he was.
Boy, I'll say, yeah.
And one of the things I want to say, Shauna, is we have a local office here in the South City, and if you're prepared to write the number down, I'll give it to you right now. It's 650-827-2074 and ask for Fidel.
Fidel. Oh, yeah, Fidel. I've worked with Fidel in years past.
Yes, and get see if we can get things moving a little bit quicker than waiting for a form from Sacramento.
Yeah.
Years ago, when I first started with the Bureau and when the Internet first came up, complaints were posted on the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
there was, I don't remember which administration it was, but one of the administrations took that down mm-hmm. for whatever the reason is, and
took
I don't
it
remember
down.
It was. Yes.
When you say the administration, the governor and then the whomever was under the governor,
yes.
et cetera. Too
yeah.
bad.
And so,
too bad.
And maybe there was some legal issues. I don't know. But what you experienced is a bait and switch tactic.
Yeah.
And we certainly want to look into that. What we would do is investigate the facility. We may even run. What we do is we run a covert undercover car.
That's what I loved about the BAR.
Oh yeah.
Oh, this is great.
We would use an individual such as Chuck as an operator, and we would go in and either call or use a coupon and see if their advertised price is indeed something that the consumer gets.
Oh, yeah.
And if they don't, we compile a number of these covert activities, and we take action against their license.
And you did this. I know I handled, while you were still up in this area, I handled at least one or two smog cases.
Yes.
Where what they were doing is they take the car and they take their pipe, the smog check pipe, and they put it in some other vehicle's exhaust.
It's called clean piping. Clean piping.
Yeah.
And clean piping still exists today.
Yes, I know.
And
I know.
I'm sure it commands a lot of money to do so because, I've discussed this in the past, all the computer data that comes out of that smog machine is analyzed.
Yes.
We have scientists that analyze that data. And if somebody's doing something wrong, we'll know it eventually. And
because the data is coming in.
The data is coming
in. The scientists will start to see. There's,
yes.
What's this real similarity here?
There's a lot.
This car is really different, but this is what's going on
there's
here?
A lot of data.
Yeah.
And what will happen is we will try to catch them because they're violating the law.
Yeah.
They're not.
Yeah.
The air is not clean. It's a disservice to the consumers when they think their car passes when it really doesn't.
Yeah.
Or if somebody were to get an illegal smog and sell a car, 2 years later, that individual that bought the car cannot get it smogged because it never passed smog in the first place.
Yeah.
So it is not a fair thing to do to the consumers. Some consumers think they're getting a deal, but the fact is they're losing in the long run.
It's affecting the population generally.
Absolutely.
It's affecting the consumers specifically. Give the South San Francisco Bureau of Auto Repair number again, would you, to
Shauna?
650-827-2074.
The Santa Clara County number is 408-277-1860, and that's where I work. And Shauna, if you're continuing having a problem or you can't get through, call my office and I'll get you going.
Very good. Here's something that was brought into the studio, another consumer problem. We had a big dent on our car years ago. An itinerant worker on the street corner approached us and offered to repair the dent for $50. He did a great job. If we had taken it to a repair shop, I'm sure we would have been charged several hundred dollars. But that's the reality. The cost of auto repairs are very high and, for many of us, unaffordable. What comments do you have about that?
The repair, whatever your level of expectation was on the repair, apparently was met.
Apparently so.
Yeah.
For $50.
For $50,
and
that individual's satisfied.
Yeah.
Again, and we live in California. In California, auto repair is regulated. Auto repair in the collision realm, body repair, is highly regulated because it's not just fixing dents anymore. It's restoring the structural integrity of a vehicle for a subsequent collision.
Mm-hmm.
Because the cars now are built to safety standards. The metals are of a certain type which fold or compress in a certain fashion over time. That time allows the airbag to deploy in some type of front-end collision. I mean, if it's simply a dent in the side of a car, I presume that you could either leave it in there or pull it out or beat it out or mm-hmm. fill it in or something
mm-hmm.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to actually front-end collisions or bumper collisions or airbag deployments or glass front windshield damage, you have to repair those cars to the manufacturer's specifications or else they're not safe.
Yes.
I'll give you an example. There was an individual who had their Prius repaired in the most economical way they could think of. The body shop was wrong in allowing this to occur in their facility. So if it needed airbags, the consumer said, no, I don't want airbags. If it needed, and that's, you cannot do that at all.
That's illegal.
That's illegal.
Boy.
You have to have new fenders. No, I don't want new fenders, just repair them.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden, this car was repaired in a substandard fashion. Mm-hmm. It wasn't safe.
Oh, my.
And this consumer is now going to sell this car.
Oh, wow.
Now, and he's probably going to sell it on Craigslist or some other advertising forum.
Mm.
The buyer of that car has no idea that the car doesn't have airbags,
mm-hmm.
unless they were to run some type of computer check mm-hmm. or something like mm-hmm. that. They're presuming that the car is structurally mm-hmm. sound when it's not,
mm-hmm.
and that consumer is at risk. And no. that's why today, in the repair of collision vehicles, there's strict standards. We do have an auto body inspection program. It's free. So if your car has been involved in an accident and if it was repaired, if you call a toll-free number, a bureau representative will contact you and make arrangements to have that vehicle inspected to see if the repairs were performed as invoiced and to see if there's any possible repair issues with the vehicle.
Now, what's that
phone number, for the free auto body inspection program is 866-799-3811.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
mm-hmm.
a statewide number.
Mm-hmm. That's
and
very good.
It's free. It doesn't cost you a dime.
That's very good. Yeah. Let's do this. 1-415-841-4134. And Rich, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hi, Rich. You're on the air.
Hi, I have a problem. So my girlfriend bought a car, and about a month after we bought it, it's a brand-new Subaru from Saramonte Subaru. It broke down. It was pretty severe, like she couldn't start it.
A brand-new car broke down?
Yeah.
Wow. Go ahead.
So they tried to fix the fuel injectors. They made a couple of repairs. And that didn't work, and then similar things happened again. They replaced an engine computer, and then that's kind of solved the problem in a way. It didn't break down in the same way. It just breaks down in a different way. It's more subtle. And there are engine lights that go off, like check engine lights.
Yes.
And then they turn on, and then they go away. So I brought it in, and they're doing repairs on it, but they can't seem to find the problem. And now what they're doing, I brought it in once, the engine light went off. Actually, I didn't see the engine light go off. My girlfriend did. And then so I brought it in, and then they said there's nothing wrong.
Mm.
And I thought, that's weird. The engine light doesn't go off for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it seems strange to me that anyway, they said there was nothing wrong, And then similar thing happened again. And a friend of mine has this computer that you plug into your car that will read the engine codes or something.
Yes.
And so this time I know that there was actually an engine code, and I wrote down what they were.
Okay. Who's the...
And I brought it in to be repaired. What's that?
Who's the owner of the car?
She is.
Okay. Every time that the car goes to the repair shop, is there a document that's signed? In other words, is there a record of all these repairs?
Yeah, it seems like they're keeping a record.
Well,
okay.
Are you keeping a record?
That's the point, yes.
Yeah, they're...
No. Rich, are you or your girlfriend keeping records of this?
Yes. We keep the papers they give us.
Okay, good.
The thing is that when you read the record that they... So I got the printout that they have, and the printout just says, customer came in claiming there's a problem, but it checks out fine. They never write on there that there was an engine code going off, and that the car had to be towed in.
Oh,
so
my.
If you just read the record, it just looks like we're making stuff up.
Yeah, how old is the car?
6 months or something.
6 months? Wow. Okay, if they can't repair it, and if it's consistently the same problem, which needs to be documented, you or your girlfriend, I suggest your girlfriend, since she's the owner of the vehicle, to go in and ensure that every time this problem occurs, that she states to them the same description of the problem every single time, and before she leaves that facility, she ensures that her description of the problem is documented on that written estimate that she's provided. Consumer is entitled to a written estimate whether the repairs are under warranty or not. If you have X amount of repairs for the same problem and they can't fix the car, this car may qualify for some type of lemon law consideration.
Which means they have to take it back and refund all the money.
Right.
So it's...
What if they claim there's not... So initially the car actually had to be towed in because it couldn't be driven, but now it will do something like stall at a stop, which it's automatic. There's no reason for it automatic to be stalling.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think what...
But they claim there's nothing wrong, so who's to say that... You know what I mean?
No, I understand. It's your word against theirs right now. But you have to do is ensure that documented complaints exist, and you can contact our office or the South San Francisco office or the 800 number of the Bureau of Auto Repair and get information on how to have a lemon law type of action initiated.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's how I would go.
Yeah, it sounds really, Rich, that this is a lemon. And therefore, at this point, please follow what Don is suggesting. Because I think it's going to end up that probably this car is going to have to be taken back by the dealership.
Right. I looked on the web about the lemon law, and it seems like, I guess you have to have a certain number of repairs.
At least four okay. Of the same problem.
Oh, the same problem.
That's my understanding, isn't it, Don? Same
yes.
problem.
So,
it has to occur at least four times, Rich, and at that point, that's considered to be a lemon under California law.
What you have to also ensure is that you receive a copy of those repair descriptions, those invoices,
right.
So that you have the record.
Yeah.
Because an unscrupulous, and I'm not saying anybody's unscrupulous here.
Well, it seems like they are keeping a record each time we go in there.
Okay.
So
but
I guess you're saying that we should make sure that they're documenting it the exact same way each time, because otherwise the lemon law may not apply because it's a different problem each time.
That could be the case, but what it is whatever the consistent failure is needs and symptom or whatever the case may be needs to be expressed and documented on that written estimate before you leave, and you get a copy of that written estimate, because
right.
It may be that the factory has to get involved, or you
yeah.
file a complaint,
yeah.
and then the factory gets involved with the Bureau of Automotive Repair to try to work through this thing.
Rich, have you or your girlfriend asked the dealership to get the zone manager for the manufacturer to come in and take a look at it?
Yeah, at one point, they made a repair, and they replaced the engine computer, Mm-hmm. And they had it for like a week. It seemed like some factory technicians were coming in specially for this problem.
Well, I think at this point, the next time that you go in there, I think you or your girlfriend needs to ask them to make a demand that you want the factory representative to come to the dealership to meet with your girlfriend, meet with you and your girlfriend. You know, one of the things that Don has said to me, and I don't think this is news to anybody else, that the number of people who are most often ripped off are single women, if your girlfriend is the one who's going in there, and elderly people. And I don't think, you know, I don't want to unnecessarily slam a dealership, but frankly, I think you got to be awful careful and be a very, strong consumer in dealing with something like this. So good luck to you.
I have one last question.
Very quickly, please. We're nearly out of time.
I'm sorry. So we have if we need to go to see, it seems like at this point we need to see a lawyer.
Well, you may.
Have any recommendations?
Well, why don't you, here, I'll give you my phone number. Leave your name and telephone number. You can call tonight. Just leave me a message. Okay. Make reference
actually,
that you,
I
no, no,
pain,
stop,
so
stop, Rich, stop talking. Rich, stop talking. Stop talking, please. We're nearly out of time. I want to give you the phone number.
All right.
You ready?
Sure.
650-363-4097. Did you get that?
Probably not. My memory's not so good. No.
You don't have a pencil. You don't have a pencil or a pen?
No, I don't. I'm walking my dog right now.
All right. I'll tell you what you do. You call KLW tomorrow, and you ask them to give you my phone number, okay? Can you remember that?
Okay. Yes,
okay? All right. And ask your dog if your dog heard me, would you? Okay. All right. No, follow through. Follow through tomorrow. Call KOW. Say, can I have Chuck Finney's office number? And they'll give it to you.
Okay, great. Thank
you. All right. Good luck to you. Take care. All right. If you are going to listen to this program, as I hope that you do on a regular basis, always have with you a piece of paper and a pen or pencil to write down something, because we usually have some very valuable information. Finally, let me give you again the website address for the Bureau of Auto Repair, www.autorepair.ca.gov, so that you can look at the website. Don, it's been a pleasure having you back on the program.
Thank you.
Wonderful to have you here.
Thank you
for inviting me,
Chuck.
You're a font of information.
Oh, there you go.
Donald Johnson, Program Representative 3, California Department of Consumer Affairs, Bureau of Automotive Repair, the San Jose Field Office. Don, thank you very much.
Thank you, Chuck.
Your Legal Rights Production staff members are Program Engineer Joanne Marr and Production Assistant Martin McLean. Funding for Your Legal Rights is made possible by the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco, the San Mateo County Bar Association, the Trust and Estate Section of the State Bar, the Labor and Employment Law Section of the State Bar, and the California Applicants Attorneys Association. You will recall that last month an Asiana Airlines flight crashed at the San Francisco airport. Tragically, 3 persons were killed. 181 were injured. It could have been a total wipeout because there were over 300 persons on the airplane. We're going to talk about representing plaintiffs in personal injury and wrongful death cases next week. My guest will be David Rappaport, President of the National Board of Legal Specialty Certification. I thank you for listening to the program, and join us next week. I'm Chuck Finney.